The September 10th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. I'd like to pause and do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. Please be seated. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, for which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the presenter, from the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person, please fill out a card, blue card, and give it to staff. If you're participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to make a want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option of declining when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have an opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional needed questions by the board, and finally, the board will take action. All right, the first item on our agenda is approval of the agenda.
Cole's motion to approve the agenda.
Urban, second.
Voice vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments. We do have several items requested to be removed from the agenda. The first is a text amendment, zoning ordinance, section 5.4, section 8.7.24, section 8.4.32, permitting restaurants and accessory alcohol sales in the TN1 zoning district, adjoining Park Avenue between Whitaker and Drayton Streets. Is there anyone here to speak on that topic? All right. The next item that we have is a special use allowed for retail consumption and ancillary retail sales of alcohol at 17 West Park Avenue, 24-004300-ZA. Is there anyone here to talk about that project? All right.
Cole's motion to remove items 1 and 2 from the final agenda.
Urban, second.
All in favor, voice vote?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. In the consent agenda, we have approval of the August 13th, 2024 meeting minutes. Any discussion on that? Do I have a motion?
Cole's motion to approve item 3 of the consent agenda.
Urban, second.
All in favor, voice vote?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And the next item is major subdivision Norwood Ward lots 72 through 78 Pearl Street. Any discussion on that? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on that?
Cole's motion to approve item 4 on the consent agenda.
Urban, second.
All in favor, voice vote?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We have no old business. We'll go into regular business. A map amendment request is rezoned from PBC to R3 19 dwelling units per acre. Item number Z0824-000494.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. I am going to speak to you briefly today about a couple of different projects, the first being 1 East Gateway Boulevard. This is a request to rezone the subject property from its current zoning of planned community business to a multifamily residential designation, R319, with 19 dwelling units per acre. You can see an aerial image of the subject property on your screen right now. You might recognize this area as the intersection of Abercorn or State Route 204 adjoining I-95. I'm going to hide presenter view. Okay. So the subject parcel was rezoned to its current designation in or about 1985. And at that time, it was developed as a Best Western Hotel. That consisted of a restaurant that was about 9,000 square feet in addition to a registration office and 120 guest rooms. And so the present petition is for the purpose of converting those to a multifamily residential use identified as efficiency apartments or single room occupancy residences. To look first at the future land use map, you can see that this area is red, indicating a regional commercial designation. And so, again, if you're familiar with this area, you know that there are many restaurants, hotels. It is definitely a regional commercial scale use. And so you already have a short-term residential use taking place there. The idea is that you would have a slightly longer-term residential use in the context of all of these various uses. The zoning map shows that, again, this site is right in the middle of this large PBC tract. It would become R3-19 if approved by County Commission. To look at the comprehensive plan future land use map, again, the existing development pattern is consistent with the future land use designation. However, were the plan strictly applied as it is in the city of Savannah, the current plume designation would need to be changed to something like residential general to be consistent with the proposed residential use. One unique circumstance here is that this is an adaptive reuse of an existing facility, and it is likely that were that facility not present, this site would be used for commercial use rather than a readaptation as residences. To look at what the county actually says with regard to both the R3 zoning district and its definition of efficiencies, first, there are 3 criteria. This is an area that, again, is intended for high-density residential use, not to exceed 40 units per acre. And the ordinance stipulates 3 criteria that the MPC should consider in its recommendation. That traffic will be generated by the proposed development in comparison to the uses permitted under the existing zoning, capacity of water and sewer systems be considered, and also compatibility with development that is of surrounding land uses. Again, this is the application of this section of the ordinance to an existing fully developed site and use. And so obviously the water and sewer capacity are already present. The site has access. It has all of its required off-street parking and likely more because it included not only the hotel proposed to be used as residences, but a restaurant use as well. So there is some additional parking on the site and a restaurant use would not be permitted here. So again, that could be excess parking for the residences that are proposed. And looking at the county zoning ordinance, it does define a dwelling unit in efficiency. And it basically says that this is a complete unit unto itself. It contains complete housekeeping facilities for 1 or 2 persons. It has a living space that does not include bathrooms or storage areas. This definition is the only reference to efficiencies within the county's ordinance, and the use does not appear as a permitted use under any existing zoning district. In conferring with the county zoning administrator, it was his intent to rely upon the International Residential Code that establishes a baseline of 220 square feet for an efficiency dwelling, and it's on that basis that we're evaluating this today. You can see on your screen the current site configuration. There are 3 residential buildings that contain the 120 guest rooms at this point, and this is the approximately 9,900 square foot guest registration building and restaurant Just to show you, this is the current room configuration. So each of the three buildings is two floors. And again, about 120 individual rooms at this point. So looking at the city of Savannah as this board considers zoning petitions for both of these jurisdictions, staff thought it wise to consider looking at the jurisdiction that had already outlined this particular use in a great way so that we would have some guardrails to understand what to expect in regulating a single room occupancy. So again, I am drawing on City of Savannah standards that do not apply to Chatham County, but they are nonetheless helpful in kind of understanding why we would want to see the kinds of conditions that you will shortly see attached to this staff recommendation. And so it specifies a maximum number of units that may be permitted, and it specifies that two of these residential units are regarded as a single dwelling unit for density purposes. It identifies a specific street type, street classification on which it must be located. It specifies a minimum auxiliary space or space for residents to use that is considered common area, as their dwellings would be a bit smaller than normal. It stipulates there must be on-site management 24 hours a day, and there is also a required management plan. So there are a number of specific things that would come under consideration when trying to regulate what will in essence be 120 individual dwelling units, and taking into consideration that many of these residents will not enjoy the same types of amenities that we would enjoy in a single family detached dwelling. So this attempts to create a high quality of living for people who are in a reduced footprint. One thing that's worth noting, you can see the site over here on the right-hand side of this photo. It is adjacent to Route 17 for Chatham Area Transit. This is an existing bus stop, but you can see that it does not actually have a bus shelter at this point. So you would just be waiting within the elements. And this is a configuration for a typical guest room at present. So this is the space that would be converted into that single room dwelling, where you would have the living space, kitchen, bathroom, and all the requirements of the IRC. It's staff's understanding, based on conversations with petitioner, that the minimum room size is about 288 square feet, and they range up to in excess of just over 300 square feet, I believe. And so with that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the request with the following seven conditions. The first, that the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed the 120 units that are presently on the site as individual hotel rooms, meaning they shall not be subdivided further into smaller units. On-site management shall be present 24 hours a day. Minimum rental period shall be 1 month. A minimum of 1,200 square feet of indoor common area shall be provided for the use of the entire site. On-site laundry facilities be provided. Partnering of the petitioner with CAT or Chatham Area Transit for the provision of a bus shelter on Route 17. And a management plan submitted to the Chatham County Commission at the time of its consideration of this petition that would include a detailed description of applicant screening policies, criteria, and residency requirements, standard rental procedures, and a detailed description of supportive services if they are to be provided, including a list of those identified service providers. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Is the petitioner present?
The petitioner is online. Mr. Weiser, I believe, is available.
All right. Would you like to go ahead and proceed?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. This is Blake Weiser. I also have Jarrett Wilbanks on the call as well. He is the Director of Operations for Fifth Street Capital, who will be taking on the redevelopment of the site.
All right. Do you have any presentation, or are you just ready to field some questions?
No, ma'am, we can field some questions. I have some concept plans if we want to refer to, like, how this will actually look like once it's completed the renovation, or any other questions that you guys have about the concept in general.
Okay.
Uh, So at present, I'm scrolling through one of the petitioner provided exhibits, which shows projects on similar hotels that actually seem to have slightly larger configurations, potentially similar though.
All right, do we have any questions for staff or for the applicant? Go ahead, Mr. Keiko.
Yes, and this is for the applicant. Is this going along the same lines as a extended stay hotel, or is it something different?
No, sir. This will be geared more towards a traditional multifamily concept. So, you know, year-long leases. Not an extended stay hotel.
All right.
It's essentially just an efficiency unit, and it's essentially affordable housing by using adaptive reuse to convert an older hotel into a living space, and then we try our best to make up for the amenities elsewhere, because we know, like Edward mentioned, it is a smaller footprint on the actual living space, but we got about 9,000 square feet of the previous restaurant building to add a gym, add a coffee bar, different types of amenities, as well as the pool. So, in short, it's traditional multifamily.
And it's going to be not geared towards low income, but just market rate rental?
Yes, sir. It'll be affordable by nature of the price, just because it's a smaller unit, but it won't be affordable in the form of like LIHTC or Section 8.
And are the minimum lease will be 1 year?
Typically, we do 6 months to a year, but we try to go for that year lease every chance we can. And in some instances, like you might have some travel nurses or professions like that that might do a 6 to 8 month lease.
All right, Mr. Coles.
Just for clarity, and I'm sure this language probably mirrors things that are already in the city or the county codes, but 1 month could be 28 days, could be 31 days. Could we just make it 30 days?
Absolutely.
Mr. Urban?
I've got a couple of questions, and maybe I got in late to our pre-meeting. Item 7, A through C, is that within our purview?
So in short, yes, this board has the authority to attach such conditions. And I will say that with regard to the bus stop, the petitioner was in agreement that this was something that would be advisable. And also with number 7, this again was borrowed from the city's ordinance, but it is prudent to identify in the interest of ensuring that you are not necessarily targeting a particular clientele, that you have very clear and established policies and procedures for screening and identification of tenants, understanding how the use will turn over just as you would with any apartment complex.
And to the petitioner, is the petitioner in accord with 6 through 7, A through C?
I know he's in accord with number 6. We had lengthy discussions about number 7. I'll let Mr. Weiser speak specifically to whether or not he's okay.
Yes, sir. We can submit a management plan as well. We're, just for context, we're following the management plan standards on the city application. We're doing a project on Abercorn where we had to submit the management plan and have the 24-hour staff member there. So we intend to fit within the same parameters on this project as well.
Thank you, sir.
And for the board, we've had issues in this area with some of these hotels on 204 in the Gateway area. So we would be really seriously looking at some kind of management plan to make sure that the residents going in there, there's some kind of, you know, procedure and screening process.
Thank you. Ms. Court, Ms. Ross.
I have a quick question for the petitioner. Will minors be allowed to occupy these units?
So I guess you're referring to if someone has children as well. Typically, you know, I guess I'll start out by saying it's not necessarily this small of a unit is geared towards, you know, the family necessarily. But in the case that they do want to rent in this project, we do like two rooms, kind of like two conjoined rooms where, you know, it's a little bit more digestible for somebody with a family, because I know it can get tight in 300 square feet.
Thank you. And one other question. In some of your other projects, I see where you have partnered with entities like the Rome Braves. Do you anticipate any sort of a partnership arrangement with this property?
Could you clarify? I'm sorry, I guess I don't understand the question.
When Mr. Morrow was scrolling through the displays of your other properties, two of them just caught my eye. They both said that you had partnerships with the Rome Braves. Here we go. Housing partner with the Rome Braves. Hilltop Lodge.
Yes, Jarrett, if Jarrett's on the call, he could speak to that partnership better than I could.
Yes, this is Jarrett Wilbanks. Are you all able to hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, so we did partner with the Rome Braves for several seasons in a row. We housed their players and their coaches. The minor league baseball essentially had an agreement with their teams where they would provide housing, and in Rome we were able to be that housing partner for several years with them. We are not currently actively looking to partner with minor league teams or teams in the area, just because we have not yet started that process. But we would certainly be open to any minor league teams or any organization similarly that would be interested in bulk or block housing. We typically do either a corporate lease or a bulk or block lease for them. So we don't have anything in the works, but that doesn't mean that we're not open to it. We'd certainly be opening to partnering with organizations in the area.
Maybe like a medical school?
Yeah, anyone who's interested, a medical school, a local college, minor league baseball team, even if a local hospital needed a block of rooms for, you know, a six-month period for nurses they were going to bring in under contract. That's all examples of partnerships we've either done in the past or have negotiated and attempted to set up in the past.
Thank you very much.
Other questions, Ms. Janet?
I guess I'm confused. We are recommending a minimum of a month, 28 days, 31 days, whatever. But the applicant has stated he anticipates the lease is being 6 months to a year. Why are we, if they're willing to extend that to that amount, why would we want to have them do less?
So these standards were borrowed from the city of Savannah. For the sake of consistency, staff thought it wise to recommend something that was known, in essence. This is a set of provisions that are actively in use within the city.
Why do we need to do that, though?
You absolutely have the ability to increase or eliminate that condition.
Mr. Meldrum?
First of all, I just like to say, I think this is a really important piece of the housing inventory, SROs. I think this is the first SRO, in the county since Nuzo. And I know we're expecting a few more. And I think that's a really good sign to see that some, folks are looking at these adaptive reuses. So thanks for MPC and the county and city staff for thinking through these issues. I do want to just ask a question. I think I know the answer, or I hope the answer is yes, but for 7 and for 3, the question to the petitioner, this facility intends to fully comply with all fair housing laws, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anything else? All right. Are there any citizens who would like to speak on this topic? No one online?
We do have Cheese Rosen.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Rosen.
Hi there. I just quickly want to say that I support this. It sounds like many of you are in agreement that this is something that's very important. I think it's a great project. I love that they're conserving the building and repurposing it. Savannah has a rich history of this sort of thing, and unfortunately, we don't get to see a lot of it anymore in recent decades. I do want to say that I appreciate the questions everyone's asking in terms of longevity and concerns with the general area. I myself have had to stay in that area when the house that I was living in at the time had some structural damage. I was renting it, thankfully. I wasn't the property owner. It was quite the mess for them. Something like this would have been a wonderful option for my wife and I. Unfortunately, our hand was forced into a so-called luxury apartment, and it's much less affordable than a project like this would be. I would love to see more of it, and I would love to see some initiative and how we can encourage more of this. Someone mentioned that this might be the first one since Nuzo. You know, what can we do to get more of these around Chatham County? That'd be great. And I also just want to say that in terms of any means testing, I heard some concerns about like the troubles in the area or that there might be overcrowding. I would just be concerned that such problems would be worsened by denying affordable housing like this. So while that can be an issue, it's not going to be improved by denying this. So I ask that you all support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Would the petitioner like to comment any further on the discussion?
No, ma'am.
All right. I'm open for discussion or for a motion.
I would just say, for discussion, Ms. Anik, I know what you're saying. Why are we giving them less when they don't need it? But I think that, like Mr. Rosen was saying, let's say that somebody's moving into the area looking to buy a house and they need a place to stay. Locking them into 6 months might be cost prohibitive versus them being here to look at houses for a month. So I'm comfortable with the 30 days.
All right. Anything else? I'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation with the one change on item three to read 30 days, not 1 month.
Well, second.
All right. I have a motion and a second on the table. Ms. Amick, how do you vote?
No.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
And I too say yes. Motion passes. All right. Our next item is site plan variances in TC2 zoning district, increase the maximum allowed height and construction. Whoops. I'm sorry. Construction of a four-story building, nine parcels at East Broad, East Gwinnett, and East Bolton Streets, 24-004388-CA.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow again, Director of Development Services here. So this is a petition that was before this board not too long ago. It has been modified slightly with a new petitioner. And the elimination of a couple of parcels from the very first time it was seen at the intersection of East Gwinnett and Broad Street. First, just to orient you, this is the future land use and zoning on the site. You can see that there is traditional commercial dedication there along the Broad Street frontage, and there is some single family or low density residential indicated deeper into the parcel. What I will say is this is not a rezoning request. This is an existing condition. And so at the point that the zoning map, the future land use map were adopted, this is the condition on the ground. Also, you can see from the zoning map that the current zoning on the parcel is TC2. So again, not a request to amend the zoning, only to modify aspects of the required development standards within the zoning district. I will hit a couple of high points that hopefully will answer a lot of initial questions. The first being the nine parcels within the scope of this project total about 1.21 acres. Again, in that TC2 zoning district or the TC in general, we're looking at a gross density somewhere approaching 100 dwelling units per acre. So the proposed is 104. We would be looking at somewhere in the range of 121 if we were looking at a maximum gross density for units proposed on the site. Significant to note that all of the property is privately owned. There is no city-owned property that is included. The public lane that bisects the property is proposed for improvement within the course of this project. The site is not within any protected local historic districts, and so there are no design criteria or review required, neither is there any protection for demolition. But with that, I'll add that the petitioner has conveyed to staff the intent to preserve some of the semi-historic structures that are present on the site right now. Those that are in good condition will be relocated. It's my understanding that the one that has been allowed to deteriorate will be repurposed. All right, so in looking at the specific variances requested, you can see the TC development standards of 5.13.5 there. The two outlined in red are requested to be varied and granted a special exception, the first being to allow building footprint in excess of 10,000 square feet, specifically for the parking garage, and the second to allow construction up to four stories, not to exceed 50 feet, where we would ordinarily see three stories not exceeding 45 feet. So you are looking at a snip of the site plan, and all of these areas where you see green here, these are portions of building that are within the development standards for this particular site, and it is only the portions that are outlined in red that are requested to be varied by this board today. Again, it's worth noting that these are variances in association with the eventual approval of a site development permit or issuance of a site development permit. And this is not actually the full site plan review. Those still go through the city reviewing departments. And so this is just this board looking at the requested variances. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 structures that are requested to have up to four-story construction. And we have one parking garage that is requested to be also four stories, but have a footprint of around 13,900 square feet. So, to take you a little bit deeper into the site plan, again, these are all of the pins that are in association. You can see the extents of the property, 1.21 acres, 104 dwelling units proposed. There are no requests at this time for reductions in required off-street parking, because this is not in any overlay or district. There are no parking reductions other than those that are offered through the provision of moped and motorcycle spaces, which will allow you to reduce your off-street parking requirement. That said, off-street parking at this point is consistent with what is required. There have been no requests to reduce the off-street parking. Also, just there are 134 spaces that are intended to be provided within the parking garage that you can see here. Just to offer everyone some context, this is the parcel to the north of Gwinnett that came before the Zoning Board of Appeals on October 26, 2023. It was granted approval for a similar request to allow four-story construction. It also featured setbacks adjoining the rights of way, where it would be closest to existing property owners. So just to offer you some context of what's going to be happening in the near future just across the street from this site. With that, I will look at just a couple of brief criteria and the rationale. So I'd like to point out that these particular types of variances will increase in frequency as we begin to cope with affordable housing. And so this is a great opportunity for us to look at the types of variances that we can expect to be requested by developers when they are seeking to include affordable housing units in their developments. Special condition B, In looking at this, I would estimate that you would see approximately 20 to 30 dwelling units based on the proposed configuration that would not be permitted without the permission to have a fourth story of construction. And so, again, staff is able to support these on the basis that the petitioner has voluntarily decided to offer some affordable housing units within the project. So, again, 20 to 30 units to be gained out of a total of 104. Again, staff is not aware of the specifics of the particular commitments to affordability. But again, this is not the first time that we have heard from this developer, and this is an ongoing discussion. The board is welcome to discuss those details with the petitioner. Again, these are of a kind that we can expect to see as being targeted toward actually including additional units in order to bring down overall cost for everyone who will eventually either rent or own these units. So, all right, with that, MPC staff does recommend approval for the first request related to construction of the four-story buildings, not to exceed 50 feet in height, and also the second request related to the special exception for the parking garage to exceed the 10,000 square foot footprint limitation in the TC2 zoning district. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. The petitioner's here, correct?
That is correct.
Go ahead and hear from the petitioner first.
So this was the first one.
Yeah.
You can touch the screen.
I can. That makes life so easy.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
State your name for the record.
Oh, Jerome Elder with J. Elder Studio. Well, good afternoon. I'm excited to be here to present this project. My team and I, we've been working for the past few weeks on developing this project. As you know, and as was mentioned, we're fortunate to be working on the project just to the north with the theater district. And with the same developer, we got the opportunity now to look at the southern site. And for us, we look at this not just as being another multifamily project, but we are more so focused on community placemaking. And with that, thinking through how, with a need for housing, how do you bring that to the community and allow for it not to be one of those that turns its back to the community, but that allows for the community to be a part of the overall process. So fortunately, we were able to, in the past few weeks, have a multitude of meetings with many different community members and organizations. And I think what I'm going to present to you is a slight adjustment to what you would have seen in the plan, but it's something based on some of the feedback that we've been getting, and we wanted to make sure we share that as well, because it's how we intend to move forward if approved. With that, I will just try to orient everyone once more. So the project is located on that southern parcel south of East Gwinnett Street between East Broad Street and then obviously the CSX Railroad. As we've looked at it, we would like that this development, and it's the same thing true to the project on the north, is one that is not a gated multifamily. It's not one where we put a wall around and it's a fence. It's a multifamily that's, think of it as just apartment buildings within the city and you're traversing through the streets. We want to have a mixed use concept where we're bringing in this particular project, a lot of smaller scale office, little offices throughout, as well as maybe one mom and pop type of corner store within it. Because on the northern side, as we previously presented, well, maybe not to this board, but we have previously gotten approved, we're doing a food hall concept, and there's a lot of great food and beverage opportunities in there. So keep going. The parcels that were presented are here. The only thing that's a little confusing is this shows it almost as though we have the lane. The lane is simply being improved. We want to better its paving so that at least it's easier to traverse than it currently is. And then I brought this up just so that we can look at it in context to the neighborhood. Savannah is full of various neighborhoods with lots of culture and just, it's just a beautiful place to be. And with us being right there at the entry, at the midpoint entry, one of the main ones into the East Side District, we want to make sure that with these two projects on either side, it becomes a gateway, but one that tells of this community and of Savannah. So you, later on, you'll see me talk about how we poise this project and what we're thinking in terms of approach. And a lot of it has to do with community engagement, public art, community gardens. So going back now, just still orienting everyone. And we wanted to show two views of the corner of East Broad and Gwinnett. The first one is the current conditions where, as you can see in the one neighboring, there was the Bethel AME church that was demolished. During the time that it was demolished after the sale happened, it wasn't Bethel. They had sold to another church. However, for us, and the reason why I'm pointing that out, this was something that came about as we're discussing with the community what concerns they had and what about it. And a big part was our history keeps getting lost. It's disappearing. So the other aspect would have been about the houses, the four houses that we mentioned they were dealing with relocating. You can see them here. They're on Bolton Street. Three of them will be relocated. One of them is in a pretty poor condition. So we're going to have that deconstructed, and the materials that could be salvaged would be used to help with the repairs that are needed to those three that will be relocated just a little further south on East Broad. And then, well, you can see here that in this view, that's the substation for Georgia Power, and that's what bounds the southern edge of the site, which is where the parking garage would be. And I'll explain that in a little, actually right now. So previously, and what you just got explained to you was our request with the three buildings that are on the north in these locations with a small park area within the middle. It isn't that small. It's about 90 something feet by 36, 37 feet, so it's decent size. Well, after meeting with the community and exploring more about the history of the site, what we opted to do, and you'll see it here, and I'll show one more, is leave out the space of the footprint of the church. And we plan on turning that into a park. And part of the park is also going to be integrating public sculpture, having just a lot more of a community engagement edge to East Broad, giving a moment for pause and giving a place for people to also be at. I think one other aspect is that the 31 Route 31 for Cat Bus goes along there. So we'd like to be working and engaging, not just on but our site, but we're already in discussions about how we can get a better bus stop location. And depending on where it's determined with CAT, if they allow it, putting a covered bus stop along this route in this area, which will be extremely helpful for all. So this is simply to give you a sense of the extent that we have started to think about the public art neighborhood garden and also this small park, neighborhood park that we're speaking of. And as you can see, we've reduced the footprint of the building that's on the northwest corner of the property, and then just slightly increased by, it's still under the 10,000 square foot footprint. Now it will be at about 7,600 square feet. So basically remove this and place it here, and that allowed us to create a few different types of pocket parks. The darker green areas are all still meant to be public space that can be traversed. We want to landscape it, but also all these orange markers are areas that we identify as potential opportunities for whether it's public sculpture, public art, the magenta locations that are located in areas that my mouse is jumping around for. And you'll see in one or two of the 3D perspectives that I'll be showing shortly would have murals and also the green dashed lines are where we plan on wrapping the parking deck, which whilst it's a four-story parking deck, the height of the deck itself is at 3 stories. There isn't an upper covered level. So it's a 4-story parking deck, but it's more like within the 45 feet. So that one doesn't necessarily need a height variance. The portion to the front does, and you'll see it again shortly. And then we're thinking of having, and when I say thinking, we're trying to work through the community garden concept, and we're looking at it from in discussions with people who've been doing community gardens, working with landscape architects and early conversations, where would be an ideal place to place one? And obviously, we would like to get as much sunlight. So placing it between these buildings may not be the best for the garden. So we have this area allocated, which is large enough for a small community garden, as you can see. This is not the final layout in any way. This is just conceptually to show you what it starts looking like, still bringing in public art into that space, preferably sculpture. And we started discussions with local artists who we're hoping to continue working with in order to get these done. We're looking into opportunities for where we can get grants, working with local art organizations to do this. Neighboring that property, however, and we haven't done any discussions with it, but people keep asking us, what's happening with the lot next door? That is city property. And currently, I'm not sure if it's used for anything, but we would hope that it could be considered for extension of an internal community garden to that area. Who knows? Possibly, but these are discussions that are just happening within my team. We're, as many of you all already know, we're a young design team who sees Savannah as being our future home that we continue to be a part of. It's our home now, and none of us plan on leaving. Actually, we just have a few more employees too, so it's 10 of us now, from 5 to 10. And we all fell in love with Savannah for the reason of it's a community. You can walk it, you can feel it. You see so many people of different walks of life, and that's the approach that we're taking to this project. So, art is community. It really is how we want to approach this project. And it can be done in so many different scales. As simple as a mural, and I say simple being it's a blank wall. It's an opportunity for, instead of having the graffiti that we're seeing, tags everywhere, let's do murals. In this location, we can work with the community groups, work with First Evergreen, which is the church next door, and you'll see, on certain areas where it's, if it's facing their church or so, we work with them to figure out what that can be. Work with local artists because we have great muralists here in Savannah. And we have many people with beautiful ideas, great drawings that just may not be able to paint a mural, but there are others that can do it for them. So that's one aspect of it. One thing that I can also point out is that there are all these technologies in architecture that allow for you to make your screens or your fencing also in some ways show art. And you can see that here with the perforations and the hands that you can see. Those are all things that we're looking into as part of this project. For the parking garage, this is a good example. And what's going to be shown in the 3D views, it's very conceptual in terms of it's massing for you to get a sense of what it is, but it is not the final design. But something like this allows for you to also address stormwater and still have plantings around the parking garage. You can even still have green walls, which is what you'll see. I am going to show in the 3D. We show the screens, but we plan on doing a mix and integration of both screens and these planters so you can get the type of vegetation that will give a more dynamic, interesting facade. But at the same time, it does help stormwater, which is a very big issue for a lot of the neighbors, as well as traffic congestion or questions that they've all come forward with. Lighting, where potentially it's that it's art. Instead of the lighting that's within that park can be something that's integrated into art. This is one example with the daffodils. They're light poles with light ends. And even additional screening if needed, working through a design so that it speaks to that aspect, tells a story and continues the legacy of the strong cultures that are part of this, the history of it and the future. Design wise, what you'll see, it's still, again, to help you understand the massing and the volumes, but we are still in the very early stages of finalizing the actual architectural styles and the materials and the textures and colors. So what you see is not a final representation. We kept everything pretty white and neutral just so that it's not trying to tell you this is our final design. This is where we're at and we're going to continue working through the design as we move forward. So here you'll start seeing this is at the corner of East Broad and East Gwinnett. The park area will be here. A large part of it is, and I should go back a little, the existing street that is here, the access lane along East Gwinnett, we plan on keeping and preserving and repairing that brick paved street so that it will continue to be that access point along there. It doesn't show up in this because we're not addressing changing anything on it other than repairing the street. So let me jump back now. So whilst this is showing it as if it's a paved street, it's still going to continue to be that brick street. For site circulation, we see the parking deck being accessed on East Bolton Street. And we are still creating a throughway for utility, emergency, or any type of access that's needed. But our residents and those who may be in the commercial spaces would be using the parking garage, accessing it off of Bolton, not go using these streets, the street or the lane as being a thoroughfare. That is purely for utility access and like delivery needs or so. Here's another view of it, and these were all also shared various images with the different organizations as we continued to develop the design. So here you can see that idea of the park, and again, as we look at opportunities, we may be able to get public art sculptures within these bays. It's just a lot of opportunity, and that's what we're looking at. This is from East Broad and Bolton Street, actually. And this is where the substation is. And you can see that you can't exactly see the parking garage. And we designed it that way because we wanted the parking garage to be further set back. So you're not just impacted by a big parking garage. It's wrapped with residential. And we are exploring changing the architectural style to the portion that is on the southern side is actually only three stories, and you'll see in another view shortly here. So the fourth story is on this portion. This is First Evergreen, and they do have their side yard and parking area here. And as you can see, purely conceptual, just showing this is the type of idea that we're looking at in developing this project. Here's another view. This is the East Side Theater that we are currently in the process of addressing the rehabilitation and renovation of. And we see this as not only being a beacon as part of that corner, but it really does create that new entry into the district. If I were to just address any of the other concerns that we've heard, a lot of the discussions were around traffic. And part of what we have been looking at and doing is exploring and understanding traffic around this area, looking at other traffic studies that were done for other sites, as well as looking at opportunities in the future. Some of the neighborhood members, one in particular, had already contacted the city and about the potential of looking into this portion of East Broad between Gwinnett and Anderson Street being potentially converted back to two-way. These are things that we know as designers may be potentially better for the traffic flow of this portion of the neighborhood, especially with current traffic patterns and needs. So we'd love to be a part of that discussion and help with all the discussions that need to happen there. But in terms of the design, we will have to go through all the various approvals and working through with the city on traffic controls, stormwater, and all those aspects so that we do not create an issue for the neighborhood in the future. And that's what we intend on. But, you know, I spoke for a while. Do you all have any questions?
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Melder.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Elder. Excited to see this parcel back before us and what looks to be a more favorable, creative approach to it. So thanks for all involved. Two questions, and I just want to make sure because I know that there were issues the last time that this parcel came up. One is the one might be a question for you, Mr. Elder, the other for staff. The four stories fronting East Broad, I know were an issue with community members in a previous design and a previous petition. I was wanting to speak through whether or not that issue has been cleared up or we see support there from the community. The other issue I think was around the 10,000 square foot plates. Mm-hmm. And I see here that we've got one plate above that and wanted to ask Mr. Morrow about his view on that issue. I know that's the variance that we're approving. So those are my two questions. Thank you.
So as for the four stories, what we've done is our approach, unlike the previous one, which had the four stories of the building all at the face, we've set back that fourth story along all of the street fronting facades. And we actually plan, and again, if I go back to these images, even though it's just showing it as plain flat blocks, what we plan on doing is addressing the roof lines and adjusting all of that. That's why we're also asking for 50 feet, because it will allow us to be a little more creative with how those fourth stories read to help make it be less of an impact. And take, for instance, in this view here, if you were to look straight at this building, you would not really see that fourth story. If you're on the sidewalk, you won't either. So it's really about the approach. But as you can see, setting it back, changing the material also helps with how imposing a fourth story on that facade grade.
It makes total sense to me. I think the concern was around the neighborhoods and the adjoining neighbors the last time, even when step backs were considered. So just that's just my concern, is making sure that those neighbors are satisfied with the design and with the height.
From the meetings that we've had, I think there have been various back and forth and many different opinions, but we've gotten some favorable feedback on it, especially with the approach to design. But I'll let those that are here to share what their thoughts are.
Thank you.
Ms. Ross?
Two questions. Do I understand that the parking garage is going to... Oh, I'm sorry. Edward, do you need to answer that question for Mr. Miller?
I'm just going to address the question. So, again, it was more the concern that these were perceived as large monolithic structures that were just kind of dropped. And so what you've done here is actually broken up the building facade, so it's much more permeable. It feels much more granular and similar to what we have in the neighborhood rather than going down Victory. And you've got the SCAD at, you know, It's just kind of these blocks. So it's much more tactile, if you will, for the neighborhood.
So it isn't a stringent adherence to a 10,000 square footprint. It's more the feel of being broken up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sorry. Thank you. So on the garage, do I understand you to say that the top floor will basically be vacant? You won't have cars parking up there?
No, it's just that it will be an uncovered deck. So you park there, but it's not covered. So you can see here, it reads as three stories, but it's just that there is a fourth floor. Think of all the parking decks.
Do you need all of that space for parking?
Yes, we do.
Wouldn't that be a cool place for your garden? Plenty of sun.
Agreed. I think there are opportunities, even with the setbacks that we've created, for other explorations and even maybe even integrating some of it off of it. But that's something that we'll look at and consider.
That would be a fun way to incorporate the neighborhood into making use of that space too, so that it's truly more of a community garden. Second, I see that you're using AMI to figure out the housing costs for, I think it's 11 units.
Yes.
What is the AMI in that district?
So the AMI, well, it's for all of Savannah.
Oh,
and okay. That's how it's calculated. And I can also share with you all how to find that information off of City of Savannah. But take, for instance, into the one that if you were on the City of Savannah's website, the reason why I'm saying that is you could also go to the federal and it's a more recent update.
But you don't have that number off the top of your head.
It was the AMI was at 50, I don't remember the exact number, but it was like 56,000.
Okay.
So when we say 60 to 80%, you have to take that at 60% of that number as being someone's adjusted mean income. As you start going less than 60%, it heads towards the range of subsidized housing. So that's a totally different discussion.
So. And is this an agreement that would be entered into for a certain period of time?
Pardon?
Is this an agreement that would be entered into for a certain period of time, like
the
10
years? The developer,
years?
As far as I know, is very open to that. I think that Mr. Yellen might be able to help address any of those types of legalities more. But, yes, they are open to the terms or time frames. But we're committed to having workforce or affordable housing based on the AMI that we're presenting for the future.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. I do have a number of folks who'd like to speak. I'm going to start with our online individual, Beth Tenney.
Hi. My name is Beth Terry. I live at 621 East Duffy Street, which is just a few blocks south of this development. I would like to request the commission delay voting on this and the next item until wastewater management has been able to address how to mitigate the impact on the Broad Street storm drain pipe. It has failed catastrophically this summer. Broad Street floods from Liberty to Anderson. Water is being pushed out of the storm drains on Broad Street because the pipe can't accommodate the demand. It is actually being pushed out of the storm drain in front of my house, a block east of Broad. We had a geyser the last time we had an inch of rain. My house, which is an historical house, it's been there 128 years and was originally a Black Baptist church, has flooded for the first time that we know of in its history, and we flooded 7 times this summer. My house will be destroyed if this project is built without some serious remediation of the main Broad Street drain pipe system that will allow it to accommodate all of the development that has occurred on Broad Street in the last 7 or 8 years. We had the Broad and Henry development. We had the Park and Broad development. We just had the Liberty and Broad development, and that pipe cannot adequately take the current demand. So,
all right, thank you. I appreciate your comment.
Thank you. I had no idea that this would be going forward because of how catastrophically Broad Street has failed this summer, because I've been working with stormwater management on it. So it just never even occurred to me until I saw this coming up today and that it was recommended for approval. that there could be any contemplation of allowing, doing anything permissive to allow more development on Broad Street until the problem is fixed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael Higgins is also online. Oh, I'm sorry. Come on up. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Michael Higgins. I reside at 625 East Broad Street, about a block away from this project. I'll be very short. I fully support the variances that are being proposed. I go out my front door. I look at this corner. I can envision what these buildings will look like. The use of the step back on the fourth floor makes it mesh very well with the surrounding buildings. I look forward to the reasonable density that this brings with approximately 100 units, that going with the approximately 80 units that will be going to the across the street to the north of it. That kind of density is not overwhelming people-wise. I think it will be a welcome addition to the neighborhood. I do want the city to step up with the infrastructure improvements, not only stormwater, but things as simple as marking parking spots and perhaps metering. But that's not the issue here. The issue here are two variances, and I fully support them.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question? You were here for the last presentation and
fully opposed it.
Thank you. Anybody else have a question? Sure. Let's go ahead and finish up the citizens, then we'll come back to Josh. All right, I have Anthony Scott here. Go ahead, state your name for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Anthony Scott. Actually, I'm Reverend Anthony Scott. I pastor St. James Amy Church, which is connected to the other property north. And we certainly have been working with the developer. I think communication is important. I think sometimes that's missed, that we can integrate some of the thoughts as we go along instead of having to redo it. And certainly with the setbacks and the other efforts to make it more community oriented, with the walking traffic, I've lived in Savannah all my life. I can certainly remember East Broad in years ago, it wasn't something that was as favorable as walking. I'm certainly pleased to say that the traffic that is coming, walking up and down East Broad in total of even the genders, even late in the evenings, that persons feel safe. The park that is also north. So creating that community environment is important. And certainly I think the efforts that they're going to in the concept is good. As long as we continue to communicate with each other and make it something that is balanced for the area. I certainly hope, as the person on the line spoke, that any development that ties into existing infrastructure has to be addressed, and even without the project. So I'm hoping that, of course, the city and other agencies are trying to improve that. We just had the serious water situation, so I know we're reconsidering a lot in terms of stormwater damage and what happened. So we're definitely in favor of the project, in favor of the continued communication.
Thank you. I have one more online. Is this Helena De Silva? Or Sylvia Helena De Silva?
It's Sylvia Helena De Silva.
Are you there?
The person is self-muted.
Can you unmute yourself? Mr. Silva, can you unmute yourself? All right, maybe we'll come back to you. Ellie Isaacs?
Hello. Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. We want to thank the architect and his team for meeting with HSF to discuss this application and taking our comments into consideration. We appreciate their sensitivity to the existing structures on the site, as well as the preservation of the lane and the brick alley. That's against East Gwinnett. Therefore, we are in support of the variance and the special exception in order for this project to move forward. And we look forward to seeing the design continue to develop.
Thank you. Eric Meckley? No? And Mr. Yellen, I'm guessing you're not.
Oh, I will speak.
Okay. Yep.
One give.
Are you finished with the public? Thumbs up?
No, not yet. Okay. Do you want to come back, Mr. Yellen?
Oh, I haven't opened.
I'm sorry.
But I'm happy to come back.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and.
Yeah. Would you like me to go or wait?
I'll let you go for right now and come back, and you can come back as part of the rebuttal.
Sure thing. Thank you. And once again, Josh Yellen here today on behalf of the applicant. I did just want to refresh everyone's memory about the changes that have been made to this project. I know there's been some confusion online as to, is this the same developer as was here in May? Is this the same project? It is a different developer with a very different project. What came before y'all in May is what I am showing on the screen, which was one massive building covering the lane, far in excess of the 10,000 square foot requirements of the ordinance. They were requesting a rezoning with a new zoning classification that allowed them to go above the building footprint. It included significant parking reductions, reductions to setbacks. It amended the uses that were permitted in the area. It truly changed the concept for the area. The proposal being presented today is for four separate buildings. Only one of these buildings is larger than 10,000 square feet, and that's solely to accommodate the parking garage. The commercial and residential on the front is not in excess of 10,000 square feet. Even with the additions that Jerome mentioned to this structure, that is not in excess of 10,000 square feet. It is simply to make a usable parking garage to accommodate the parking demands that requires the 10,000 square foot building to be in excess of the code. Additionally, for what was presented to you previously, this was entirely a four-story building at, I want to say, 48 feet. So the entire massing was originally uniform. There might have been some design tweaks, but this was a large, imposing structure that was four stories throughout. The proposal, that's not going to load now, apparently, that Jerome had brought before you, is to have that fourth story be set back. They are asking for the 50 feet because it allows for more architectural detail, but across the board, that four stories are going to be limited. The green space is improved. Everything about the project is different. It's a better project, but it is in keeping with the TC2 zoning, but it's not a rezoning as you previously saw. So we think with these improvements, we have staff recommendation for approval. I know that was hard pressed in the prior go around. We've been working with staff. Jerome has been working with the neighborhoods, meeting with as many people as possible, trying to incorporate as much feedback to make this truly a great project. And so we would appreciate your support on this project. And
thank
I know
you.
Ms. Ross had a question.
Do you still have some blue cards? Let us finish up with the blue cards and then you can come back.
Thank you.
Ms. Mobley? Please state your name for the record.
Virginia Mobley. What you're being asked to approve is water coming out of a faucet. It has changed. Let me back up. I did not see a plan for this project until Friday. What I saw then is not what was presented to you in the application, and it is not what you're being presented today. That's the problem, a big problem that I see. I'm not saying I am 100% against this. I will tell you in a minute why I'm against it. But there are no concrete plans as to this is what we're going to create. This is all being done for a sales contract. What you do today will be the only approval or disapproval that this project has. Now, granted, it goes to City Council from here, but there's no review of the building that the community can see or have input. Looking at all of these plans, where are they going to put the dumpsters? Where are they going to put the mechanical part of the house, of the building? They are proposing to take a 14-foot lane, street, brick pathway and create a 20-foot two-way traffic against a retaining wall that is over 100 years old. Who's going to be responsible for shoring up that retaining wall? It's actually a property of the cities. It's not the property owner or the proposed property owner. The lane in its configuration as they show it now is going to create a quick access down to Gwinnett and Habersham. We have enough traffic that is not obeying the use of the lanes and the streets now, but you are increasing that flow of traffic. By the way, I did not hear about this project until I got my notice from the MPC. When I got that last week, when I called and asked, they could not answer any of my questions. Okay. Alderman Leggett invited me to a meeting on Friday afternoon. Really and truly, I came away with no questions answered. I kept being told that we don't know. It is fluid. We haven't decided. Well, where after saying, yeah, you can build up four stories.
Thank you, Ms. Mobley. We will get a chance to see this again, won't we, Edward?
Just a point of clarification, two
yes.
things. One, this is a variance request. It will not go to city council. And two, and this is very important, this isn't in any district. So theoretically, there's no design requirements that are required. I think that one of the things to keep in mind is that what is being shown to you is what this would be with regard to getting the variances. You've got a right to ask the architect or the applicant if they're willing to commit to design or building it similar with some minor tweaks to what is being shown to the community. But I do think that a lot of effort has been made to work with the community to come up with a design. But it is a process that's fluid because it's not something that's required. The fact that he has spent so much time trying to make sure that he works with the community to come up with something is something that the other architect or the other developer didn't do, but it is not something that is required. I just wanted to make that very clear. It's not a requirement. He's not asking to get it rezoned. He's just asking in this case for a variant.
I understand that, but the family that lives across the street did not know about this until Friday when I called them. And the last rain we had, I'm at 918 East Broad, just the other side of the transfer station. We had less than 2 inches of rain. I had 10 inches of rain in the middle of my shop because of the swimming pool that has been created around me.
Thank you.
If I could just respond briefly, I just want to state that this is within the existing zoning and the requirements of the existing zoning. This board is being asked to consider two variances to the development standards within the TC2 zoning district that will permit four stories up to 50 feet and one structure that will be in excess of 10,000 square feet. It is accurate to say that they would not necessarily be bound to all the things that you see, because those would be the two things that were a development plan submitted. Staff would look for consistency with the two variances that could potentially be granted. Other than that, as long as the proposal meets the requirements of TC2, these are entitlements that already exist on the property. This board could add a condition to say that it needs to be more or less consistent to ensure that we are seeing some of these nuances. But again, it may be up to the petitioner to at some point come back later and say, I would like to make additional requests based on feedback from the community or, you know, other design priorities, and say at that time they're willing to commit a more firm drawing. But this is within the TC2 zoning district. All of those are knowns that are already established in the zoning ordinance. And one last thing, I'm so sorry, I'm talking and not going to, actually I need to go to Article 3. I just want to point out, this is different from the previous petition in that a special exception and a site plan variance do not necessarily require neighborhood meetings. What is required is that mailed notice go out to all of those within the ordinance mandated buffer. That was done. Neighborhood meetings that were held simply of the petitioner's own volition and out of an interest to ensure that this project has been incorporative of all of the things that the community would like to see. And I'm struggling to find this as I talk. Nonetheless, public notice 3.2. There it is. So if anybody's interested about what particular types of petitions require public notice, you can see here, special exception, neighborhood meeting, NA. Site plan variance, it is in here somewhere. Nonetheless, this is section 3.2 of the ordinance. If you are ever in question about when a neighborhood meeting is required, it's right here in the ordinance.
Thank you. Mr. Silva, are you still there online? Can you unmute yourself?
Oh, still muted.
Still muted? All right, I'll come back one more time for you, Mr. Silva. Next is Tony Riley.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My statement is probably...
Mr. Riley, could you state your name for the record, please?
Tony Riley, 614 East Walboro Street. My statement is probably changed because what I've heard already from some residents. First of all, St. James Church is not in our community. The pastor of the church does not live in our community, and he has dirt parking. If he wants improvement, let him pave his church parking lot. The next thing is... the resident who lives at the 600 block of East Broad Street, they probably like to see some aesthetics so that they won't have to look over at the power station, which is the reason why I think these developers are putting their parking lot on the side of the parking power station so that the residents that are going to live in this place don't have to look at a power station. But my concern is the flooding, as Ms. Mobley stated. You know, if you look back at the Savannah Morning News or WTOC, you will see a Miata floating in the middle of Walboro and East Broad on the east side of the street. And so, and then if you go down to Paulson Street, the manhole came up and cars were driving in and going in the manhole. And of course, you know, the city's not responsible for fixing that car because of that damage. So we would not like to have this. Mr. Meld, I'm glad you pointed out about the new zo and how hastily it was approved in the administration that approved it and all the things that they wanted to do. And this building is going to be four stories high, and they do have the little setback up top that they say that the people who live in these new houses over in the 500 block of East Broad Street that would not like to see. And so that is the whole thing is kind of like a, you know, you put the ball under the thing and you're just moving around it and you guess which one of the things that the ball is under. That's kind of like this, that's what this is. It's kind of a dog and pony show, that they don't have to, come back to anybody. You all are the last thing. I respect this board since I was a college student, political science student. I always respected this board because I knew that this board was the one was the protection for the community against some zealous developers and so forth. And you knew all what's coming downtown. And like you said, we do need housing. We do need more property that can be taxed because SCAD is buying so much property and taking it off the tax roll. We do need more taxes. And we also need 15% of this project to be able to house poor people. I'm not going to use the term low income or workforce development. I'm talking about poor people who are being displaced.
30
seconds. So thank you so much for that. So we needed 15%. Affordability for poor people, because when I looked at Zillow, I saw that the mean is about 1600 and up, and the median is in there at about $1,500 to $1,600. So The poor people, where are the poor people going? We don't, let's don't shade it about workforce development, low income and subsidized housing. Let's talk about poor people. Let's remember the poor people. They need some place to stay instead Thank of these you. Camps and hotels. Thank you all so much. Please vote no.
All right, Mr. Hunsrucker.
No, new drawings, new. Yes. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's the one I was in the
presentation. You'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is James Hunsrucker, and I'm president of the Forsyth Park Community Alliance. According to Timothy Snyder, the first rule of fighting autocracy is not to obey in advance. Not that we're fighting autocracy, but we're here. What we can do here is the rule will apply. What you have not seen here is enough evidence that the variance and exception will not be detrimental to the neighborhood, the general vicinity, as in the ordinance. How could this negative impact occur? Mainly through traffic and visual compatibility. The residential density created by 104 units is approximately a combination of three of the neighborhood blocks. The historic view shed for the East Side Historic District of no greater than three stories, guaranteed by the TC2, will be destroyed from both sides of the railroad tracks. A fourth floor, allowing the profit of 20 to 30 apartments, means more traffic through a narrow Bolton Street, having a negative impact on safety, welfare, and function for the general vicinity. Without empirical proof to the contrary, do not obey in advance. And also, Bolton Street is going to be where all the traffic goes in and out of the parking garage. It narrows with parking on both sides, so it becomes a central, yielding, two-way, two-directional residential street. Rhino recognizes the limits to the site by having a parking garage above ground occupying approximately 35% of the construction site. An above ground parking lot is less likely to flood, as in other recently built multi-story projects around town. They are allowed some 130 units, but chose 104 with 129 beds. 20 to 30 of the units are on their proposed fourth floor. Without the variances in height, the hope is that the garage can also be reconfigured without needing the exception in footprint greater than 10,000 square feet. Staying within the constraints of TC2 would be best for the community. Mr. Elder and Rhino Group's efforts to produce a harmonious project at the location is truly appreciated. That is something I could never say about Forum Group. I would like to trust their intentions, but as Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Now, the conditions were spoken about at our meetings, our two meetings at their offices, but none have come to fruition. We haven't come up with any conditions of agreement.
They have 20 seconds left.
And also the Gwinnett Street access road, the narrow street, it's 14 feet wide. It's brick. In their plans, it varies per plan. So I don't trust. Oh, here we go. Back to the drawing. The fourth floor looks like a spaceship landing on top of the building. This access road up here.
Thank you, Mr. Hunsrucker. Sorry, your time's up.
The granite curbing will be destroyed, and the street. Well, anyway.
Thank you. All right, Marianne Godicki. I'm getting closer. I think.
Okay. Goydish. Marianne Goydish.
Goydish.
Good luck. Just Marianne works. Okay. Flooding. Gwinnett Street floods. Remember? Flooding is absolutely a dead answer. And yes, sir, you've done a very good job listening to us. Could you listen to me? My objections are practical. Flooding has to be addressed before. Then we have to deal with traffic. Gwinnett, there is commercial stores on East Broad. There's no parking on East Broad between Bolton and Gwinnett. No parking. So where do the people park to go into these stores? Do you think these stores are going to survive for a year if there are no customers? You have a parking lot. It comes in and out of Bolton. Oh, well, they'll park on Bolton. Bolton has three lanes, one, two parking and down the center. You have a one lane in, out, north, south parking. Come on. You have a visitor. Where are they going to park? You have 100 people next door. You have 120 people down the block down. Where are these people going to park? There's one of these things has a vision on the other side of the railroad tracks as being open. Three houses have been developed. Bolton Street is block, chock-a-block people, single family houses on both sides. Okay, traffic has to be addressed. People have to get in and out or you'll have no renewals. The lane, it looks wonderful. Is it public space? Am I walking down East Broad? Can I walk down that lane and look at these things, or is there a fence? On the north side where they have that, what looks like a parking lane and some trees on there, is that fenced? Can I go all the way through on the this thing to that thing? There seems to be a bridge. Is that a street level bridge, in which case the lane is blocked? Is it above level? They're going to improve the lane here. Great. That needs to be. But can I walk down and look at this artwork? Is this private property? Can I walk on a lane to look at someone else's property? Is there a sidewalk out there? Now, the railroad bridge on Bolton, we have one lane, north, south, east, going for people to get to work, 5 o'clock coming home from work, 9 o'clock going to work. That railroad goes through. There are no gates and there's no horn. It clearly says no horn area. You're going to have traffic without a horn. Has anyone listened to the complaints for people who drive on President Street and get blocked for 20 minutes, half hour? And now we're doing it with one lane. Where does an emergency vehicle go? Okay. We do have overpopulation. Now, the developer is asking for a
5 seconds.
Can I take Ms. Johnson's time?
If, sure.
The developer is saying he will put in affordable housing if he gets an variance to go another floor. Okay, as Mr. Hinkle said, low-income housing, or affordable housing, is it going to be a one-bedroom? Is it going to be a three-bedroom? Is it going to be on one floor? Is it going to be scattered throughout the building? Will they have access to the parking? Will they have access to the amenities? And in 4 years' time, when these apartments vacate, who's going to check to see that this is still low in affordable housing? And if it's not affordable housing, is the fourth floor demolished? There's what the developer has done is wonderful. He's listened, but he has to go even further. So yes, we can have affordable housing and nice housing. The artwork, wonderful. The green work, wonderful. Can the city give something where the church is in that land to have a little more public housing, maybe a park? We have obviously people here who have children. Where are the children going? If they're going to Hubert, they have to walk down Gwinnett. Gwinnett sidewalk is this wide, my shoulder, and it's flooded. How are the kids going to get to and from school? Parents will have to take the kids down to school. Traffic. Traffic is going to destroy the neighborhood. People are not going to be happy. We have enough problems with road rage in Savannah on four-lane streets. What happens when we have a one-lane and someone's gets out and wants to drop their kid off and blocks up, or you can't get out? We need, this has to be community friendly, and flooding, traffic is the big, I see the big no-no. It's going to stop the community. So could you at least give the developer time to address it instead of saying yes or no? He said, developer has come forth with some good ideas. I'm sure he could come up with some more, and maybe the city could do an easement and erase a sidewalk. Make the city make the street wider. Georgia Power doesn't need the sidewalk. There must be solutions. There are creative people in this town. They could work on these solutions, and then we could have both. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
There's one important point. And there's 2 seconds. This only needs one important point. Please, I'm just going to stand right here and say it.
10 seconds. Come to the mic.
Thank you all so much.
State your name for the record.
Tony Riley again. I forgot to mention that at the meeting, they told us that the corner of Gwinnett and East Broadway, where the park was going to be open to the public. I saw in the drawing that there's a shoulder that's going to be inside of the facility. And the other thing that they told us at the meeting Friday was that there would be no commercial businesses on the first floor. But I just heard that there may be a Bristow and some office space on the first floor. Thank you. And that was new. Thank you.
All right, Ms. De Silva, we'll give you one more chance. No, she's gone. All right, thank you. Okay, would the applicant like to come back up and
yes, ma'am. Josh Yellen, represent the applicant along with Jerome Elder. Just do want to clarify some items because we've heard a lot from members of the public as it relates to how this process plays out. Today's request is for the variance just for the 10,000 square foot building and for the limited increase in height to the 50 foot buildings. This is not full site plan approval. I know that there were concerns about traffic. There were concerns about stormwater. We share those concerns about stormwater and traffic. But once we have this massing of the building is when we go in and engineer it and work with city staff, work with city traffic engineers, work with city stormwater engineers, and make sure that the site is not harming anyone in the vicinity. That is the process of every project within the city. We are here today for the variance. I don't think it would be reasonable to request a delay until a site is fully engineered. I have not seen that for any other project. As it relates to some of the suggestions that were made as to open space, I do want to be very clear and have Jerome standing next to me that these spaces, as were highlighted, were open space. They are shown on the plan as being public space. We are happy to ensure that this plan, and we'll work with MPC staff to make sure that what eventually goes before the city of Savannah as part of the site plan process is in conformity with what you are seeing today. That is not an issue. When we say that it's conceptual, it's because yes, stormwater could have an issue with something. Traffic could say, oh, it's 14 feet there. Can you please widen it to 14 and a half feet? And we work with staff. And that's how the project goes from conception to reality. We can't set it in stone now, but we are obviously going to work with staff and work with the community as this moves forward. But yes, to clarify, this is public space. The lane was going to be open to the public. The pocket parks were going to be open to the public. The public art is clearly intended to be open to the public. As it related to the impacts of traffic and density, because I think those go hand in hand, this site, as was previously asked for in May, they were seeking 180 units on site. I believe that y'all put a condition on that, that you wanted to see 138 units. Our proposal is for 108 units. The maximum density, and we could design this site without coming before you. We could put in multiple 10,000 square foot flat roof buildings, never see you again. We could hit the 121 units that are permitted currently. We could put in 121 efficiency units, 435 square feet each. We could also come in and do, 62 bedroom units or keep on going. We could put in 5 and 6 bedroom units and we would never hit that density max and we would never be before you. So the density is reduced from what is permitted on site. It's been reduced by what was previously recommended for approval by this board and it's reduced from the max. And so everything that we are coming is trying to put this piece together. I know that Jerome has done a lot of outreach, has spoken to a lot of members of the public, has received a lot of feedback on the project. And some of what we heard was that, oh, the plans that we saw are different than what you're showing today. Yes, we are responding to concerns from the public to make the plan better. This plan was recommended for approval by MPC staff. We have since improved upon that plan based upon feedback received. And so we would respectfully request that you approve of the same as presented to you today. And again, we are still here to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions for the applicant?
Can you touch base on the AMI question that I asked Jerome earlier?
Yes. And so it's hard to fix the number now. And this one, I'm not trying to dodge the answer, but the AMI as it currently stands is based upon the area median income in 2024. That obviously would not apply in 2026 or 2027 when this project is fully built out. That is a sliding scale. If the AMI increases in Savannah, obviously the renters who are coming in here are going to have an increased income. So it's hard to fix what the number is going to be now, other than to state that we would be in that 60 to 80% range. To your question as to who enforces it, this is something that we need to work with the city on in terms of enforcement. And we are committed to working with them as to whatever agreement is in place. If this was a traditional low-income housing tax credit deal, those deals run for 20 years. You make a commitment to affordable housing, it's for 20 years. That developer also gets significant income tax and capital gains tax reductions, which we wouldn't have the privilege of doing. And so I think it's that ongoing conversation with the city is how long would you like us to do it? Are there benefits that can be provided by the city? We are happy to put that in writing, happy to have it be enforced by the city of Savannah. But in terms of the duration, obviously we can make a commitment, but we want to work with the city to see what's best for everyone in that regard. You're welcome.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Now, you wouldn't get the tax benefits of a low-income housing tax deal.
No.
But what was positioned from MPC staff is that the variance bonuses would be the incentive that you're having for providing affordable housing. So there is an incentive there, and it's a tangible incentive and a monetary incentive, and that, you know, the city would expect some covenant similar to those that we have with any other affordable housing, whether it's low-income housing tax credit, whether that's state one Georgia grant funds, whether that's CHSA funds and Savannah Affordable Housing Fund covenants, we'd be looking to match.
Agreed. Fully to have the covenant. I've sometimes been before this board where people have said, well, are you going to restrict the affordable housing in perpetuity? And how do you make sure it lasts for 150 years? And frankly, that's just my clarification was that's not the reality of how low-income housing works. It's typically renewed on a 20-year cycle. Some are on a 7-year cycle, but we're happy to have that conversation with the city as to the duration and the enforcement mechanism in place. Not trying to say that that should not occur, but from the apples to apples comparison, it's just we're operating under an obviously different program.
Understood. Thank you.
Other questions? Go ahead.
It's not really a question for staff, but since we do have the luxury of having the city manager here and because the issue of flooding has been brought up by several of the residents, Mr. Melder, is the city actively looking at East Broad and the flooding issues there?
I was communicating with my stormwater director as I was hearing the public comment, and though I was out of the room when the public commenter stated a name or an address, if there was one, and I'm happy to follow up. We are working to address some issues that we've seen on East Broad and Wahlberg. Though no residential structural flooding that I'm aware of. And if that's not the case, please make me aware. I mean, we have seen just unprecedented rainwater amounts. In July, we saw, I think maybe the highest rainwater amounts on record. So we do have some work to do in terms of making sure that we have stormwater and drainage infrastructure that's going to protect our homes and our properties for 100-year floods and 500-year flood events, which are now happening a little bit more frequently than 100 years and once every 500 years. And those infrastructures are going to that infrastructure improvement is going to be something that we talk about heavily over the next several years. But I do want to say that the design standards that the city of Savannah has for stormwater is extraordinarily high. Even when we see some of the flooding events from the Ogeechee River flooding, because of those design standards in city of Savannah communities, you saw extraordinarily little structural flooding because the homes are set up above the streets and the streets are actually designed as a last, you know, kind of place for water to go in those extreme events. And so you didn't see any structural flooding due to the Ogeechee River flooding event in city of Savannah properties where you saw, you know, those same kind of events happen in other places that might have less or their older design standards. So, and we're actually going to be asking council to increase those standards pretty soon to match some HUD guidance that has come out. So we want to be really clear-eyed about Savannah as a coastal community and the things that we need to do in order to keep growing, but also protect the property that's there. And all of these improvements, from a developer standpoint, all have to put in significant resources to meet those flooding and design standards. So it isn't just, you know, a
let's put a bucket out onto the street and let the Savannah water system deal with it. There's tremendous regulations on being able to store that water and for how long and for all of the displacement for impervious area and other things that have to go along with it. But, you know, there's no doubt that we have to do more of that infrastructure work.
Thank you. All right. Other comments? I have a couple of questions. First is on the affordable housing. I saw a picture with the affordable housing breakdown, what you were willing to, yes, workforce housing, 11 units. Are you willing to allow that to be a condition of the project?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I want to ask is, are you willing to bring the site plan back, given that it's been such a controversial site and we have a lot of people who are in favor of it and people who are uncomfortable with it still? Would you be willing to bring it back to the MPC for us to review?
If that is something that you all put as a condition, you'll have to do it.
I don't know if it's something we can put as a condition.
For future reference, MPC does have its own review layer within the reviews of those city departments that were just identified. Staff can opt to send that review back to the board without it being a condition. So if it is understood the intent is for this board to look at it, it would be this board that would see it before it's approved.
That's what I'd like to see. All right. Anything else? All right. We're going to take these separately. We're working right now on the site plan variance and TC2 zoning district increased to a maximum allowable height and construction of four stories, the nine parcels at East Broad, East Gwinnett, and East Bolton Street.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Ross, second.
All right. Zamek?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Nochika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
I too say yes. So first one passes. The second one is a special exception to increase the maximum building footprint in the TC2 zoning district, nine parcels on East Broad, East Gwinnett, and East Bolton Streets. Do I have a motion?
Cole's motion to approve.
Ross, second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Nochika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. All right. Thank you. Okay. We have a couple more items. One being our November meeting, our first November meeting is on November 5th, which is Election Day. We would very much like to move that to November 4th, which is the Monday before Election Day. Yeah, is there any objection to that? Guys will try and make it.
Is it same time, 12:30? Okay.
Just going to move it up a day.
All right.
Do we need a motion? Labor Day. Understood. We have one other item of business, and that is appointment of a nominating committee. I have asked and received yeses from Mr. Nochika to be the chair, Ms. Ross to be on the committee, and Mr. Irvin to be on the committee. So if you guys could get your heads together, and if anyone would like to be on the board, please get in touch with them and let them know what you'd like to be doing. And if there's any way you can report back by the 24th, that would be beneficial. If you can't, you can't. All right. Any other business? Move to adjourn?
Call this motion to adjourn.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good deal. Thank you.